And everybody's going to need one one time or another. Amen. And we got to the point last week where one of the things that we have to do to receive a miracle is that we have to have faith, because we don't receive anything from God that we didn't receive by faith. And so faith is a key. Faith is that I believe it. And if I believe it, then I'm going to speak it and I'm going to confess it. It's very important. But it's not just faith in anything. Some people think, because I said, by the stripes Jesus healed, by the stripes Jesus took to his back, we're healed. And people will go, people will say, well, you know what? I don't know about that. You know, that's just presumptuous. If it's God's will, he'll heal. But what they don't understand is I'm not a positive thinker. I mean, I am a positive thinker, but I'm not a positive thinker in the sense that people think that I'm a positive thinker. See, a positive thinker is somebody who just thinks positive. I think positive because my faith is based on something. I can be positive because my faith is based on the Word of God, and the Word of God says that God can't lie. So if God can't lie and it's in the Word, then it's for me, and I can have faith in that, and that's the difference between having a positive mental attitude and necessarily walking in faith and being positive about the things of God. I've had people tell me, well, God is God, whoever God is to you. If Buddha's your God, then that's God. If Muhammad is your God, then that's God. Confucius is your God, then that's God. And you know, I talked to these people one time, and they believe in the crystals and the light and all that kind of stuff. And then they wanted to get in this big debate with me about the crystals and the light. And they go, it's the same. You know, God is the light. And I go, but my God has a name. My light has a name. It's the name of Jesus. And I said, so that's the difference. You're out there in the light and in the crystals and all that mess, so that you've accepted a religion that accepts your lifestyle. But the bottom line is, you get in the book and you'll find out that you don't worship crystals and the light and the stars and the sun and the moon and all that stuff up above. And you don't worship all that mess. You worship the God that created all that stuff. That's what you worship. And they don't understand that. They don't get it. But you know what people will do? People will serve a God that they feel is accepting of their lifestyle. So instead of coming to God and letting God change your life, they want to find something that's going to accept their lifestyle. And that's not the way it works. If I want to be a better person, if I want to be better, if I want to be more like Jesus, if I want to see growth and maturity in my life, I'm going to see it by coming to the Lord Jesus Christ and lining up with what the Word says, rather than trying to take something and make it fit to what I think, right? So the Word, the Word, the Word, the Word. And we talk all the time about the Word and the importance of the Word of God in our life. If we're to be transformed by the renewing of our mind, there's only one thing that can transform us and renew our mind, and it's the Word of God. If we keep on thinking like we used to think, then we're going to keep on getting what we used to get. And we have to change that. If you want something different, you have to change the way you think. We are where we are because of how we've thought about things. And you know, sometimes we grow up and we get stuck in certain situations, and you know, we kind of get this label that follow us, things that we've even talked over ourselves. You know, I just do stupid stuff all the time and I just blow it all the time. Well, you know, change the way you think. Change the way you talk. How about, I used to do stupid stuff. Now I don't do stupid stuff anymore. Or I try not to do stupid stuff anymore. And if I do something stupid, I ask God to forgive me and I don't do that stupid stuff no more. Right? But don't talk that stuff into your life all the time. It's important what you say. What you say is what you're going to become. What you say is what you're going to believe, which is why it's so important that we get the Word of God inside of us and we begin to speak the Word of God, or what we speak needs to line up with what the Word of God says about us. It doesn't say in the Word of God that we're sorry and that we're stupid and that we'll never amount to anything and that we're going to be stuck in that area of our life the rest of our life and that we're never going to have anything and we're not going to have anything to show for it. That's the exact opposite of what the Word of God says. The Word of God says that He delights in the prosperity of His servant. I know the plans I have toward you, says the Lord. Plans to give you a future and hope. In other words, God just wants to do us good. But if you don't get in His Word and you don't understand that, there's people, well-meaning people out there that people listen to because they say they go to church. But I know a lot of people go to church that don't know no book. And then when you try to tell them some book, they'll tell you, I don't care what that book says. That's not what we get taught where I go. And you know what? Sometimes you're taught wrong. If you're taught something and you can't find the scripture for it, then you better figure it out. Next week we're going to sing, There is a River that flows from Calvary. Ain't that what you said this morning? He loves a cheerful river. Amen. See those little slips? They used to call them Freudian, but I don't even know who Freud is. Here's the truth about the whole thing. If we aren't reaping what the Word of God says, then we haven't planted what the Word of God says to plant. You get that? If we're not reaping what the Word of God says, then we haven't planted what the Word of God says to plant. We will reap what we sow. We've established that that's a spiritual principle. So if the Word of God is number one in our life, if the Word of God is primary in our life, then we're going to get the results of the Word of God. That's the bottom line. If we... And that doesn't mean that the enemy's not going to fight you. The enemy's going to fight you. The enemy's going to try to take that word that you've received, and he's going to fight you for the word. See, some people think that the fight with the enemy is about the enemy to fight to get to you. But that's not really what the enemy's fighting over. You know what the enemy's fighting over? The enemy is fighting to keep the word from you. Because when the enemy knows that you get the word, how it's going to change your life, he does everything he can do. Because he knows that once a believer understands their authority and who they are and what the word of God says about them and about their life, the enemy isn't as concerned about the life as he is getting in and stealing the word. Because he thinks if he can steal the word, that he can steal your authority and steal your life just like he's always done. Right? Okay, so what the enemy is really after is the word, which is why thy word have I hid in my heart, that I might not sin against thee. You get that word, you get it inside of you, and you hold on to that word with everything you've got. If the enemy fights, oh well, the enemy fights. There are times where I know that I'm going to walk through certain things because I know I'm going to preach them. And I know when I preach them, and you know, I got to get it in me before I can give it to you. Right? And so I know when I preach that, the fight is on. Because the enemy don't want you to get that. And because the enemy don't want you to get that, he's going to fight me. Right? And that's not really who I'm fighting against. I already know that I've won that battle. The scripture tells me that I've won that battle. But that doesn't mean that the enemy isn't going to come and try to fight that word getting to you. He will fight it with everything he's got. Right? So what you do is you get that word and you hold on to it. You get it in your heart. And you will reap what it is that you've sown into your life. And we have to have absolute confidence that what the Word of God says is what He meant and what He's going to do for our lives. We know that. Turn with me, if you would, to Romans 8. Romans 8. And I want you to go to verse 6. For to be carnally minded is death, but to be spiritually minded is life and peace. So let me let you take a little inventory here. If your life is peace and you're enjoying your life and you have peace in your life, that means that we're on track to being spiritually minded. But if we're not receiving the things that we know that we're supposed to be getting spiritually, then we might still have some carnal mind. Listen, when we come to God and come to the Word of God, and even after we've been a Christian for a long time, if we haven't been taught the principles of God and the importance of the Word and the importance of getting the Word in us and the importance of being transformed by the renewing of our mind, how many of you know that we used to have stinking thinking? In other words, the way we thought didn't line up with what the book said. So if the way we thought didn't line up with the way the book said, then we've got to change the way we think. If we're still thinking some of those same ways, you know, then we've got work to do. And we've got work that the Word of God needs to do. And if we get to the point where we're callous and we start saying things, I know what the Word says, but. In other words, you're getting ready to make an excuse for why you're not going to be obedient, then you're in trouble. That's carnal. That's not pleasing to God. Without faith, it's impossible to please Him. He who knoweth to do good and to doeth it not, to him it's a sin. So if you say, I know what the Word says, but, I know I shouldn't say this, but, I know I shouldn't do this, but, them buts will kill you. Right? We can't do that. But if all that we think about is the Word of God, guess what? That's what we'll get. If we think about the Word of God and we dwell on that and we think about that and we meditate. You know, a lot of people don't meditate on the Word of God. They go, and meditation isn't what we've heard about meditation. When we think about meditation, we think about ohms. Om. That's not the kind of meditation I'm talking about. I'm talking about that you read a scripture. And don't have to be a passage. You can read a scripture. You can read a part of a scripture. And you get that, and you get that in your soul, man, in your mind, will, intellect, and emotions, and you continue to say that. Meditate on it. Think on it. Think about what that's meaning to you and what it's saying to you. Meditate on it. When's the last time you took a scripture and you just meditated on it to see if it had something else for you than what... And see, lots of times what it is we've heard a scripture a certain way, and we think about it the same way, and we've never thought about the scripture in a different way. I like to use this one as an example. I'd heard my entire Christian life, when the enemy comes in like a flood, the Lord will raise up a standard. But how about you think about it this way? When the enemy comes in like a flood, the Lord raises up a standard. Changes the whole meaning, doesn't it? Changes the whole way you think. The other way sounds like the enemy's all powerful. You say it the other way and you understand God's all powerful. Here's another good one. All them big old preachers that didn't want to lose no weight would say, bodily exercise profiteth little. It's just the way they said it too, because they were adamant about it. I'm eating my fried chicken now. But how about bodily exercise profiteth a little? See, it's not just how we've always heard it. It's the emphasis of how we've always heard it. But have you ever thought that because there's been an emphasis on it, the way we've always heard it, that there might be something deeper and something more to it? In my prayer time the other day, the Lord gave me revelation on that. Because as in my prayer time and in my confession time, I always thank the Lord, number one, for wisdom. Any man lack wisdom, let him ask of God, who gives to all men liberally and without reproach, right? So if we need wisdom, we ask God for it. But I always, right before that, I always confess about liberty. The Bible says where the Spirit of the Lord is, there's liberty and there's freedom. But you know what? My emphasis in that scripture has always been about how free I am. And that's good. God wants us to be free. But as I began to meditate and dwell on that scripture, you know what popped in my spirit? But isn't it cool that even though I'm free, and I thank God every day, every time I'd quote that scripture, I'd just say, thank you, Lord, I'm free. But I start thinking, but you know what? It's even cooler that the Spirit of the Lord is there. Where the Spirit of the Lord, the reason I'm free is because that's where the Spirit of the Lord dwells. That's even, both of them are good, but I mean, my emphasis had always been a little different. We can get in there and read that scripture and get something different out of it every time. I like hearing Dr. Bumpus preach. I was listening to him preach this week, and he sends me a CD every month. I'm one of his partners, and you know, he just has a different perspective. A person that's been in jail 23 times and was supposed to be there for life, sometimes they just have a different perspective. And he was using words I had never heard before. Me and Brad are driving down the road, and he's preaching, and he goes, they're Jeffing. And I'm going, Jeffing? I go, what in the world is Jeffing? He kept talking about, finally he gave the definition for Jeffing, which I think today's popular definition would have been brown nosing. But I had never heard Jeffing before. You know, those that try to snuggle up to everybody and tell them everything they want to hear so you know that they get favor with that person. And he was calling it, he got some slang on some stuff. I thought I knew me some slang, but old Dr. Bumpus, he got him some slang now. But he was breaking down some scripture the other day, and what he preached was true, but he said some stuff in there that I had never seen it that way before. Well, you know what? I used to love to hear preachers from foreign countries come here, because in America, we'll hear people preach a sermon, and kind of pretty much every time they give you that scripture, you kind of know where they're going with it. You know, because that's kind of the way we've always heard it. But then people would come from foreign countries and preach, and they would always take a different thought to the way that was preached than I'd ever heard it before. A lot of it has to do with culture and all that different stuff. But I like that slant. It used to make me angry because I'd say, I haven't ever heard it that way. But now I like that slant on it, because that slant on it gets me out of my box to think about the scripture in a different way. Because you do know that when I preach, I can preach about something. You can have something going on in your life that has nothing to do with what I'm really preaching about. But the Spirit of God will take some of that word and be dealing with you and meeting your need. So everybody could come in here with a need of something different, and the same sermon, whether I told you the subject was this or not, the same sermon would meet every need. Because God will take that word, and that word with your spirit and the way you heard it and the way you're receiving it, it'll change your life. That's what's so awesome about God's word. So if it's that way in preaching and teaching, how isn't it that way when we're just reading it and studying and meditating on it? How do you think people get that? How do you think other people get different perspectives of the word? How do you think they get different revelation? It's because they meditate on it. I say that most of the people that put the label on themselves Christian and call themselves Christian do not meditate on the word of God near enough. But I challenge you. I challenge you, you know, if you're going to read during your study time, good. And ask God to give you revelation on it. But just take one scripture. Take one scripture and just speak that scripture to yourself all day and just think about that scripture. I remember the first time that it became revelation to me. I was reading it, and I think I was reading it out of the New International Version, and it said like this: the kingdom of God is forcefully advancing, and forceful men lay hold to it. Now, in the King James, it says violent. Okay? But I really started getting revelation when I read it in the NIV, and when I went and looked it up in the Greek. the kingdom of God is forcefully advancing, and forceful men lay hold to it. Now, violent is an okay translation, but what it's talking about in the things of God, if you want it, you better go get it. And you better be forceful about it. And you better hold on to it. And you know, just as you, as forceful as you are, as you would be protecting your family, you need to be that way about the Word. And what the Word says is yours. And you need to go get it. And everybody you know, even your loved ones sometimes will tell you, I don't know about, hey, everybody you know that's trying to tell you something different, you know what? You don't, and you don't even have to say, get behind me, Satan, or nothing. You just lay a hold of that, and it don't matter what anybody says, that word's for you, and you're going to get it. We do that about other stuff. You know? There's people that do that. There are people that when they meet somebody and they think that that person's for them, they're relentless. They're just relentless. Kim's not that way normally, but when I first met her, she was going to the church next door to my grandparents' house, and I had just moved back from North Carolina, washing my car. Her dog comes out and jumps on me. My dog goes out and jumps on her. She brings my dog back to me, and then I started going to that church. Well, I was older than her, and there were some single women in that church. Some had been married. Some had been married and had kids and all that, and they weren't married anymore. And, you know, the way it was in the churches that I grew up with, you get fresh meat saved in the church, baby. They're free game. And them women in the church, and not that I was that great of a catch, but, you know, as long as they had a pulse and they had a job and all that, hey, praise God, and they're Christian. Praise God. So I walk in, you know, and then there's, you know, three or four women in there, and they're all kind of friendly and nice, but some of them knew me, and they're like, no, I know. He's crazy. But Kim is like, I ain't going to wait on these girls. She kind of took a liking to me. And even though it's not in her nature to be aggressive, she liked me. And she came over to my house. I'll never forget. She came over to my grandmother's house and she knocked on the front door. And she was literally shaking. And she goes, I just wanted to know if maybe you wanted to come over to my house and have pizza. And I go, yeah, that would be great. But see, she wanted to get to me before any of them other girls in the church because she heard them talking. She didn't say anything. But see, she was going to forcefully lay a hold of what she... Now, she didn't know that she didn't have to be real forceful. That I just lived that way anyhow. So once she broke the ice... matter of fact, her dad, one night they drove me home. I can't remember what was going on. And I rode with them after church or whatever, and they were driving us home. And then her dad ran into the church for a little while. And when he came out of the church, he didn't say anything to me then, but he said something to Kim on the way home. He goes, well, when I went into the church, there was two people sitting there. He goes, and when I come out, it looked like one. And that was on the first date. So she didn't have to be real forceful. I kind of was taking a liking to her too. But you know, she made that first move, and that's totally against her nature. And so, you know, sometimes us to be aggressive, it's not in our nature, but when it comes to the things of God, see, things that are real important to us, you know, a mama who ain't, you know, real aggressive or whatever, come after her children. And watch them feathers ruffle and watch that hair stand up on the back of her neck and look at her look like a cobra going, like, you know, do that again, I'm going to strike, right? Okay, well, how come we can do that about certain things, but we're not that way about the things of God? If God says it's for me, you try to take it from me. And sometimes we just have to ignore all the stuff we're hearing and all the stuff that people says, and we just have to say, just move on. We don't even have to talk about it, because even talking about it is an attempt to steal that word from you. You hold on to that word and you move on. If God says it's for you, it's for you. If you believe it's for you, it's for you. And if you didn't get it, it's because you gave up before you got it. Because if God said it's yours, it's yours. And where Christians miss it is we give up before we get it. That's where we blow it. That comes to miracles. That comes to healing. that comes to anything in the Word of God that it says is for us, if we didn't get it, it's because we quit before we got it. The enemy stole the Word and said, oh, you know, that's never going to happen for you. And you needed it to happen yesterday, but it didn't. So let's go to plan B. And there isn't anybody in here, and I don't care how spiritual you are and how long you've been a Christian, that can't say that you haven't done that in your life. We've all done it. We've all done it. You may not be thinking, I want to be sick, but sometimes our thinking has been sick. It's been passed on to us sometimes. You know, in the work atmosphere, some people's homes, you know, just out and about with your group of friends or stuff like that. You know, when you're growing up, kids can be pretty cruel. And they'll say things to people, and if people are different. And that's why people that are different strive to even be more different. You know, my pastor's son, Terry, his son David, he does all the computer work for me around my business and always has. But growing up, he had long, straggly hair, wore long sleeve flannel shirts everywhere he went. It'd be 112 degrees outside. Boy, would be wearing a long sleeve flannel shirt with a toboggan on and his hair hanging all out. And he was just he's a different breed, but I think he liked being different, you know? And I think that after a while, some people turn one way and they'll start thinking, oh, well, because I'm different, everybody makes fun of me, and it'll make them go south. With him, I think to this day, he still likes being a little different. He just likes it. He don't care, and he likes it that way that people think he's a little different, you know? And that's okay, and it's a good kind of different. But see, what happens is all the weird people who are people who ain't like us. If they ain't like us, and they don't live like us, and they don't think like us, we'll say, well, they're kind of weird. But, you know, people saying that about you, too, because you ain't like them either. And it's that uniqueness. You know, wouldn't it be kind of boring if everybody was just alike? You know, there are some of those people that I look at and go, wow. And not in a good way. Right? But, you know, it's that uniqueness and the fact that people are different, they come from different backgrounds, and we can learn a lot from each other if we'll just allow that to happen. But some people, my wife, if it ain't hamburger, hot dog, beef jerky, her steak has to be beef jerky, looks like the charcoal brisket that they cooked it in, or she's going to send it back, you know. And I'm like, well, that had flavor before you killed it. But now you've just killed it. It has no flavor. And then she looks at mine, because mine's red and got juices flowing through it and all that. And she'll be going, ugh, who could eat that? Right? And but see, to me, she's boring. She with that stuff. She won't venture out. No, I'll just have that. I got some sushi and sashimi over here. No, I ain't having none of that. You can have all that you want. I don't, you know. Malika goes, Miss Kim, you need to learn something about sports. Because, you know, we were in the middle of basketball season. It's exciting in the middle of basketball season, particularly when you grew up with that your entire life. Florida's more football. But back home, it's more basketball. People just live and breathe basketball during that time of the year. And so we were going to the game, and Kim don't even know what goes on in the game. She just watches the people. And so we walk out of the game, and she goes, are you proud of me? And I go, what? And she goes, well, I'm sorry I'm not a good sports person. She said, but I did clap a couple times for your team. And I'm like, that's kind of a waste of the ticket to take her to a game, isn't it? You know? But that's the difference. Now, you know what? She could talk to me about the Lifetime movies, and I would be just as ignorant, and I want to be. There's nothing about that that really turns my crank. And she's on. She goes, I'm going to show you a picture of this Great Dane. I go, and it's a Great Dane laying on a couch and his legs all hanging down. And I go, oh, that's cool. Because I'm thinking, which one of your friends have that? She goes, well, I'm connected to the Lifetime Movie Channel on the Facebook, and this was on there.
It was
Well, whatever. Same smell, in my opinion. Proverbs 4:22 tells us that the Word of God, listen, here's what you need to know about the Word of God and why it's so important. The Word of God is life unto those who find them and health to all their flesh. So if the Word of God is life to all those who find them and health to all your flesh, how come everybody isn't forcefully going after the Word of God? When God wanted to bring Jesus into earth, He couldn't just create Jesus. God gave authority over the earth to man. Right? God didn't rule directly over the affairs of the earth. He gave the authority to man. He gave them dominion. Remember, He created the animals and created everything in it. And He says, and man, I've created you and you can have dominion over it all. He gave man the authority. But man blew it and gave the authority to the enemy. Right? So God was looking for a man to flow through, but He couldn't find one. So He had to come to Himself. And in Isaiah 59:16, in the virgin birth, the Word of God was the seed, and everything else about the birth was natural except the supernatural seed, and the woman was impregnated by the Spirit of God. The seed. That's the only thing about the birth that wasn't natural. And God spoke that miracle into existence. And I believe that every one of us has a spiritual womb that the Word of God enters into and germinates, and we conceive a miracle. How are we going to do that? We're going to get the Word in us, and we're going to speak the Word. And we do have a spiritual womb. And all of that Word are little seeds. And seeds are little capsules that are carrying around the Word that contain power, that can just explode in your life. And what the things that you're needing from God, that you're wanting from God, that God's wanting to do in your life are in those seeds, in those containers that we speak forth. The power of life and death are in the tongue, so we can speak life into people or we can suck the life out of them. You know, sometimes Christian people, if we're not careful, can be the world's worst at killing our own wounded. You know, listen, Tiger Woods will tell you he ain't even Christian. He's Buddhist. His mother's Buddhist, and he'll tell you he's a practicing Buddhist. I in no way condone his lifestyle and what he did, but I'm a little over people beating up on him. I mean, I know he's an easy target. You know, there's a lot of presidents in the United States that they could have beat up just like him, that they might have been worse than him. Presidents of the United States, but they were living in a different day. They were living in a different day where there weren't cameras. And they were living in a day where there weren't as many, not every phone had cameras on them. And not every street had a camera. Not every business had a camera. And also when people had a little bit more honor and integrity and respected the office. They may not have respected what those presidents were doing, but they respected the office enough and the country enough not to go around and look like that we had some hayseed for a president. Right? Immoral as they could be. Yes, we've had church leaders that have been immoral. We've had presidents that have been immoral. You know why? Because there are human beings that are immoral. But you know what? When somebody blows it, let me just ask you the question. Have you ever blown it? Were you wanting to receive mercy? Were you wanting to receive forgiveness? Were you wanting everybody just to drop it and leave it alone so you could go on in life? Well, you're going to reap what it is that you sow. Right? With the mercy you meet, it's the mercy you receive. So you know what? I look at that. I loved it when Tiger Woods was playing well. You know why? Because everybody else played better. He elevated everybody else's game. And I hate it that somebody who seemed to be so mentally strong now isn't. I mean, right when it looks like he's just going to explode again, he doesn't. But you know what? That doesn't mean he can. Don't mean he can't. You know, I love the commercial with Michael Jordan in there. Because it starts off, I've missed, I can't remember how many tens of thousands of shots. I've missed this many shots at the buzzer to win a game or whatever. And he goes on, talks about all the stuff that he missed. And he goes, and I'm Michael Jordan, who's one of the greatest basketball players that's ever been on the floor. You know? Do you know that people, for whatever reason in baseball, it's all about the home run. People just love that display of power. And I misspoke the other day, said 2,500 home runs. Obviously, I meant 2,500, I think, hits, right? 25 home runs, that'd be some kind of record. But anyhow, it's all about that big swing, the home run. But do you know that most of those people that have led history in home runs also led in strikeouts? Them big power hitters. You know, which means that you had, along with those positive things, you had some failure. But the good news is that God is a God of the second chance. And when we blow it, if we missed it on something that we were believing God for, dust yourself off, quit crying about it, go back and take that word and stay with it till you get it. It isn't over. It isn't over. It isn't over till you quit. And sometimes we can quit and realize that's what happened and go back and take it by the helm and then stick with it and move forward. Right? Take what it is that belongs to you. So we can't just depend on somebody else. You know, you need to have inside of you what you need to receive a miracle from God. That's my goal with a body of believers. My goal of a body of believers is when you come across somebody that needs to be saved, if you have to call the pastor, call the pastor. But that's not my goal. My goal is if you meet somebody that wants to come to Jesus, my Lord, you lead them to Jesus. And if you call me and say, I got somebody over here and I want you to come pray, I'll go, I'll come pray, but why ain't you praying? Because everybody in here has got enough word to lead somebody to Jesus. Everybody in here has got enough word to pray with somebody to receive their healing. Everybody in here has got enough word to pray with people to prosper and be blessed and to see miracles in their lives. That's my goal. My goal is to feed the sheep. My goal is that you would be equipped, because that's what God gives the gifts for, that you would be equipped for what? For every good work. To do what it is that God's called you to do. Which means that not that I sit there and pamper you and you got the pastor and everything relies on the pastor. You know, I went to the Catholic Church when I was in boot camp because I wasn't really living for God and Mass was shorter than church. And I could go to Mass and come back and get my uniform ironed before everybody else got out of church. See, you got to think if you want to get stuff done. All right? So, but I go, well, where's the Bible? Because you didn't get no Bible in there. They go, oh, well, we really kind of discourage that. We want the priest. And he was preaching in Latin. You know? Anybody in here understand Latin? Well, there you go, me either. And that's what he was preaching in. And they'd go, we don't want you, we don't really encourage you to read it. We want them to explain to you what it says. And I'm like, oh, well, I don't know nothing he said. I just want to come over here so I could press my uniform before everybody got back. So that was good. I didn't learn nothing, didn't know nothing, went back, did my uniform. Right? Martin Luther, who was the father of the Protestant movement, went and nailed the thesis on the wall where the Protestant church broke out of the Catholic church because he read in the Bible in the individual priesthood of the believer. Where I don't have to pray to Mary and get Mary to get in touch with Jesus on my behalf. I don't need St. Christopher and St. Andrew and St. all that. And listen, that ain't taking nothing away from all them saints or Jesus' mama. What it's doing is saying that when the curtain in the temple was rent in two and torn in half, that was symbolic that of Jesus laying his life down and that I could go directly to the throne room of God, myself, you and yourself, 24/7 and receive from God.
That's right.
My goal is to teach you what the Word says, that number one, that's true. And you got just as much God as anybody else does. And that you need to understand that you can go directly to the Father and you can receive anything that's in that book that He says you can receive. If you get it in your heart, you understand it, and where the faith part comes in, and you believe and have total confidence that what He said in that book is yours. And what He wants for you. You can say, well, I just don't deserve that. You know what? That's that old spirit of religion mess. I hate it. It isn't God. Has nothing to do with church. It's a false humility. Humility is being obedient to the Word of God. You are somebody in Jesus. When you're all loaded up with the Word of God, you are somebody. And I'm not talking about cocky or anything like that. I'm talking about that you're confident that what the Bible says belongs to you and it's for you and you can do what it says you can do. And you know what? That when people say whatever it is they're saying, you know what? We do come off cocky if we feel like we have to address every time somebody says something that doesn't line up with what it is that we're believing. You know what? Let it go. Let it go. Me and Brad's playing golf yesterday. This guy gets up behind us, hits a golf ball right at us. Brad already ain't having a good day. So this didn't help. Right? And I could tell he really wanted to say something. So he's walking around, but he's with me. So he knows, you know, he really probably ought not to say nothing. But he's walking around. And he ain't just walking around. Now he's done the tilt. He's looking. Now he's going to turn all the way around. He's and then he goes, good one! And then I finally said, Brad, I go, you know what? That's probably the best shot that they've hit all day. And in all fairness, we were at the bottom of the hill and they couldn't see us. They really couldn't see us. But they'd we played a 3-hour and 15-minute round. That's fast golf. But they were, I think they were members, and they, you know, members sometimes feel like they own the course and they're trying to push us. There's a couple times where I was just going to stop and let them through. And we were even thinking about it during that time. But I go, well, you know, that's probably the case. And then after a couple of holes, you know, Brad's cooled down a little bit. And he goes, yeah, because he goes, I almost picked it up and threw it back at him. But I had a guy hit into me one time. He hit into me, and I go, whoa. And then we go on. He hits into me again, and I just shook my head, never even turned around. The third time, he hit into me, and it bounced by my foot. I looked at him like that. I reached down, I picked up the ball, showed it to him like that. I got in my cart and drove off with his ball. Then I stopped. I showed him the ball, and I threw it down on the ground so he could have his ball, and I drove up to the number 10 tee box. About the time in the middle of the swing, here comes this cart. I mean, whoop, slamming on, and he jumps out. He goes, "So you want to fight a 74-year-old man with prostate cancer?" I go, "No. I just want you to quit hitting at me." I don't know if you've ever been hit by a golf ball, but, you know, use a little courtesy. There are times where people are going to hit the best shot in their life ever, and they've never hit that ball before. Really, that happens. And they've never, ever hit it. They had the first pure shot of their life. And I get about one around, maybe. But this one's the first one of their life. And they've never hit it that far before, and so they thought you were clear, and they hit it. Right? You know, that happens. But then there are those that are just rude or whatever. But you know what? What pops up? What pops up on the inside of us when that stuff happens? And what does the Word of God say about it? And how do we deal with those kinds of issues when they happen? Well, it really does depend on how much Word we have in us. Now, yesterday showed me a little bit about Brad, about the Word he's got in him, because he could have thrown the ball back at him. I remember a day when these guys hit into me all day, and I went to the clubhouse at in between 9 and 10, and I went to the pro, and I go, "This man has been hitting into me all day long." I go, "I've got people in front of me, and I have nowhere to go." I go, "If he hits into me again, I'm going to walk back with my 5-iron, and I'm going to hit him." I go, "Are you going to say something to him, or do you want me to?" He goes, "No, Butch, I'm begging you. Please let me handle it." Now I'm the guy that goes, "Oh, well, you know, whatever, and then just move on. But you know what? When we get the Word in us, it begins to change us. Things that were such a big deal weren't necessarily such a big deal anymore, right? And some days, have you noticed, some days we're a whole lot better at it than others. Now see, if Brad was on his way to a 73 round, he'd have probably went, "Hey, good shot." And he'd have probably went on. But he wasn't. And he wasn't used to that. So he's like, you know, just compounded everything, right? And it's on those days where we just don't seem to be as good, you know. The days, you know, that it was your fault, but you're late. And everybody is in your way. But you're the one that's late. And have you ever noticed, as uptight as you got, and as crazy as you drove, and all those feelings, did you notice it took you longer to get there than it ever did in your entire life? So what good did it do? You know that scripture we talked about? "For to be carnally minded is death, but to be spiritually minded is life and peace." Peace is an important thing. Sometimes you might receive a miracle based on somebody else's faith, but God wants you to be able to receive the miracle with your own faith. But I'm going to tell you right now, it's impossible for you to receive a miracle without planting the seed. It's impossible for you to receive a miracle without planting the Word of God. There was a man who decided that he was going to go plant a crop 90 days after everybody else had planted their crops, and that he thought that in 30 days that he was going to have a better crop than the people that planted their crop on time. Well, he lost 10 grand. because he lost everything that he planted. Because you know what? You got to plant, you know, people get the faith and the seed thing all mixed up. They have to work together. They have to work together. You have to use the natural laws and the spiritual laws together. But how many of you know that it's the spiritual law that created the natural law? So it takes precedent over that. So here's this guy wanting this big crop. Well, he's not going to get the crop. You and I don't just naturally grow up believing God. You don't just naturally do that. It takes renewing our minds. God's word is the most important step in receiving a miracle. Faith comes by hearing. Romans 10:17, hearing comes by the word of God. You can't just know the word intellectually. We have to meditate on it, meditate on it, meditate on it. But sometimes we get so preoccupied with everything else. There are people, and I've had this happen in my life, we get something, we get a thought, and the thought comes in, and the thought just takes over. In other words, we can't think of anything else. We can't think of anything else. Sometimes it might be, you know, our kids are gone somewhere, and we can't think of anything but our kids being safe. Or it could be, you know, this thought comes in, well, I know I've paid my tithe, and I know I've got seed in the ground, but I don't see any possible way how God's going to work this out, and what am I going to do? And I've tried everything I did, and I waited too late, and, you know, the thought just comes so strong that it overtakes anything we know about the Word of God, or we allow it to. Which is why the Word says that we're to take every thought captive that sets itself up against the knowledge of God, and we're to cast it down, and thought or imagination, and cast that thing out of our life. Because really, what is that? Once again, the enemy trying to steal the word for you. So he brought a thought to your mind, because you have the mind of Christ. He brought a thought to your mind that doesn't belong to you, but when you took it and began to embellish it and began to receive it, you took the thought on. Wasn't your thought. It's not the way God thinks. This thought come on how it, you don't have any idea how it's going to work out. You don't have any idea how God's going to do this. I'm going to be overcome. This bad thing is going to happen. This bad thing is going to happen. I don't see any way out. That ain't God. That doesn't line up with the Word of God. You've got to catch that thing and cast it out of your life and say, the Word of God says, greater is he that's in me than he that's in the world. I have the mind of Christ. I'm victorious. I'm overcoming. I'm not just going to sit back and receive anything that happens to me. Now see, I turn the air off because everybody freezes and Miss Pat's going to fan. Lord, if you could give us all the same temperature in Jesus' name. Help us, Lord. If God's word is planted in your heart, you'll receive. It doesn't matter what you feel. You know, there are times where you have to forget what it is that you're feeling, and you have to receive by faith what it is that God has got for you. We've all had those times where we've prayed and it didn't happen. Mark 11:24 says this, what things soever ye desire when ye pray, believe that you receive them and ye shall have them. Is that not what the word says? That's what the word says. And this is the point where most Christians stumble. The Bible says to believe when you pray that you received it. Right? And we don't say, hopefully, possibly one day if God wants to. That's future and that's hope. Now, faith is. Faith is right now. So whether I have it in my hand or not, well, I'll ask y'all. I bought an iPad, took my credit card for it, put it on the computer, filled it all in, got a receipt from the company that I had just purchased an iPad, that they've received it, they've processed my payment. The next email says, it's in the shipping department, it's shipping. Okay? Not. The next email says, it has shipped. Here's your tracking number. You can follow it from wherever it was to come directly to your house. Now look, when I bought that and I swiped the credit card, right then I was the owner of a new iPad. Right then. Right? Am I holding it in my hand? No. Some people go, well, if I say that I'm prosperous and blessed and I'm broke and can't pay my bills and life ain't good, I'm lying. No. As soon as I put that card in there, that belonged to me. I may not hold it in my hand. See, people can't get the idea of what the word's trying to say. When I prayed, believing, that's when I received it. Might not be when I manifested it, but that's when I received it. And from then on, I just thank God for what it is that He's done. Now, you know what? Then one day, UPS makes the delivery, and bam, there's my iPad. But that iPad was just as much mine the day I put the credit card in as it was the day I was holding it in my hand. That's what the Word of God is trying to tell us. That's how it is. That's how it is in the kingdom of God. Now, we're not used to thinking that way, but that's the way it is. The Bible says that Abraham called those things that were not as though they were. What do you think the word meant? Hello, I'm the father of many nations. He didn't have any kids. Hello, I'm the father of many nations. To a childless man. But that's how he introduced himself everywhere he went. He was calling those things that were not as though they were. When God told him to do that, he didn't go, come on, God, you know I ain't got no kids. Look at her. You think she's going to have a kid in that kind of shape? And look at me. I can't do nothing either. We look at each other, we don't even see that. We're old. That's how people talk. Right? Then they're going to help God to try to do it some other way than the way God said. I'm going to finish with this scripture here. Matthew 7:7, turn there. Matthew 7:7. Ask, and it shall be given to you. Seek and ye shall find. Knock and it shall be opened unto you. And you know, even though we know that scripture, right? You know what the word says. A-S-K. Ask, seek, knock. Right? That's what it says. Asking, it shall be given. Seeking, ye shall find. Knock, and it shall be opened unto you. And then you talk to people and they'll go, look, not everybody receives. Not everybody receives. You know, then they start wanting to get in if it's God's will, and if it's God's will, actually, the Word of God, Testament, last will and testament. In other words, that's what He left for us, belongs to us, what it is, it's for us. Right? So that is His will for us. Anybody who says, well, not everybody receives, that's not scriptural. Anybody that says, well, if it's God's will, He will. And if He wants to do it for you, well, let me tell you, He does. Here's what the very next verse says. For everyone that asketh, receiveth. Right? And if you look that up in the Greek, everyone means everyone. That's exactly what it means. Everyone who believes is going to receive. Everyone that asks, believing, is going to receive. But see, people lose their excitement for the word and then don't expect it to work like that. But let me tell you something. No matter where your excitement level is, that's the way the word works. Just like that. So, if you're excited, good. Go on and receive. If you used to be excited and you ain't excited no more, get excited and go out and receive. Because what the Word of God says belongs to you. Now listen, and don't be saying stuff like, well, at my age, you don't get excited about much. Well, that's too bad. That's too bad. Kids, boy, when they're expecting to go somewhere, you know, they're expecting to go somewhere that the night before, they don't even sleep. You know, they'll come in your room at 3 o'clock in the morning. They go, we going? And then when you get in the car, they're going, are we there yet? You just want to take a gag. Excitement. Well, how can we see God do all the things that He's done for us and ever lose that childlike excitement? And if He's ever done it before, and He has in all of our lives, hasn't He? Haven't we all seen God move miraculously in our life before? Well, why would He stop? Why would He stop? There's nowhere in the Word that says He'll stop. He doesn't stop. It's just the same. He's the same yesterday, today, and forevermore. And He wants to keep on doing that for us. Right? He wants us to see miracles in our lives. He wants to see us walking in His blessing everywhere we go and in everything that we do. That's what He wants to do you good. He wants to bless you. He wants to elevate you beyond where you are right now. God giveth the promotion. And it's not just on the job and all that, in the things of life. He gives you favor with God and man. If you need favor to get somewhere to where God wants to get you, He'll give you favor. We have to understand that. And people will say, well, there's no way that could ever happen. Well, yes, there is. He could have favor. He could give someone to put in your life that gives you favor to do all of those things in your life. Right? That's what He wants to do. Amen. Stand with me this morning.